Good morning. I think, first of all, I got to bed at 6 o'clock this morning and woke up at 8 because of this talk, because I've been wrestling with myself for the last year about whether I should give it. So I don't know why I couldn't sleep, because I know I was going to, but still I was wrestling. I think most people who know me would say I'm a directly honest person, and sometimes to my detriment. My foster sister says that I'm too honest, and I don't know how that works. I still haven't figured that out. But I'm not afraid of addressing the elephant in the room, and if I see something, sense something, feel something, I will say something. On one hand, this talk could seem like a long confession, and maybe it is. And if it is, and you don't think it was appropriate, then tell me at the end of the service, and God forbid if something like this happens again, please, no thank you, I won't talk about it. Now I need you to know that I am not afraid of the dead or the dying. I've had the dead turn up at the end of my bed, usually within 3 days of their dying, and we talk. And a couple times I've thought, should I wake up my husband? He believes me, but he doesn't want to meet them. So I also have dreams where people will come and tell me goodbye. A lot of times there's a superimposed rose in the background of this dream, and that means they're going to die within 3 days. And I don't know why the magic number is 3. I can't figure that out. I also have dreams telling me they're going somewhere eventually, and they're packing. And they don't tell me when, but that tells me that I can tell that person to take care of their health better. I had a girlfriend who I had a dream about, and I had known when her husband and her mother was going to die because of all this. And I called her and I said, well, I had a dream. And she went, oh, no. And I said, no, it just means you need to take care of your health, and you probably need to lose some weight. And she did, and she's still here. So I don't know what would have happened if she hadn't. But when these dreams are different than normal dreams. Normal dreams, you get up and you wander around, get your cup of coffee, and in a half hour you can't remember what it was about, really. You might have, maybe it was about a dog, you know that much, but nothing else. These dreams stay with me and are insistent. So that's how I know it's that kind of dream. So I'm not afraid of the dead. Know that. I had a friend of 25 years. Her name was Irene. I called her Myrene. And her husband's name was Nate. They were a little bit older than me. And they were of different religions, and very devout. And somehow, we got to meeting at the Rathskeller. And we started talking about spiritual ideas and other ideas, but mostly spiritual and religious. And I can't remember how long we met there, but eventually we started meeting at different people's houses. And that went on for a couple of years. And then we started meeting mostly at Myrene's house with her husband, and we'd bring something to eat, and sometimes we'd talk until the wee hours of the night. I can still see her dear little face. In fact, I see it 7 or 8 times a day, and she has turned up at the end of my bed. She didn't say much at first. But eventually, I asked her, why are you here? What's going on? And she said, you know what's going on. And indeed, I did. And indeed, I do. And right now, I can feel her standing behind me a little to my right. Maybe some of you can see her or sense her, but she's here to hear this. When we had our meetings at Myrene and Nate's house, like I said, we would talk until the wee hours of the morning. And one time, Nate said, as we were talking, that in their belief system, in their religion, that homosexuals were going to hell. And I just said, oh, okay, because that's their belief. A lot of us talked about our beliefs, and my belief isn't that. But it didn't upset me because that was them. And all it informed me was that if I'm ever, ever in the market for a religion again, and I don't think I will be, it won't be that one. So it was informative. It really was. At a meeting about 15 years ago, when we were meeting at different people's houses, I was sitting on the couch with another lady, and Myrene was there, and somehow we got to talking about spousal abuse. I don't know why, but the lady who was new to me said that she had just gotten out of a 14-year abusive marriage. I was like, oh my gosh. And I said, I just congratulate you, and I'm so glad that you honored yourself enough to take care of yourself and leave. And Myrene said, you have to love him unconditionally. And I was like, what? And she said it again, you have to love him unconditionally. Kind of took me aback, and I know it took this lady back. And I said, you mean from afar? Like, leave and love him still, but leave? And she had a sad little smile, and she shook her head, and she said, love him unconditionally. Now, she's speaking to a woman who got out of a 14-year abusive marriage, and she's speaking to me, who was severely abused as a child. And I was gobsmacked, and I said, that sounds like a recipe for abuse. And she sadly nodded her head. And it kind of made us all quiet, and we didn't talk about that anymore. And when I went home that night, I thought about it all night. And I thought about what I could have said and what I should have said and what I wish I'd said. And then I thought, well, when it comes up again, I'll say it. I'll say it to her. It never came up again. And I never brought it up again. And I wish that I had. I'm turning a page. Now, that was a year and a half ago. A year and a half ago. I mean, that wasn't, that was 15 years ago. But a year and a half ago, Nate stabbed his wife to death and killed himself. And I started seeing her face, and she showed up at the end of my bed. And I know that part of that is regret, because I wish I'd said something. I usually do. What was wrong with me? And I can't tell you that if I had said something, that wouldn't have happened. I don't know. It might have happened anyway. Maybe it was her journey. I don't know. But what I do know is that I wouldn't be feeling this way. And Myrene wanted me to tell everybody that if you see something, if you sense something, say something. When I was a kid in, I don't know, third grade, I wore the same filthy dress every day to school. I had sores on my head and my body and bruises, and I had, my hair was thinning. I guess nobody saw it because nobody said anything. Somebody said something, they might have saved me a little sooner than when the state took me away. I know people say, well, she could be abusing that child, but I don't know. And I said, right, you don't know, so report it. Let the professionals figure it out. Maybe it'll be unfounded. Maybe it'll be true and you can help save a life. Even if it's unfounded, the person who's being abused will know that somebody saw them. Somebody saw this, and it will give them so courage. And even if it's unfounded, it will put that family on notice that people are watching. And that's a good thing. Whether it's a child, whether it's a spouse, whether it's a grandmother, we've just got to look out for each other. Every minute, 32 people experience violence from their intimate partner. And that's one in every two women, two in every five men. 47% of women are abused in relationships. Approximately 75% of fatal victims of domestic abuse are women. 29.5% of folks are killed by a stranger, where 46% are killed by an intimate person. We all are one, and we need to look out for each other. So, my main message is that if you see something, sense something, say something. And I hope Irene's happy with this, and I won't see her anymore. Thank you.